This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
50-minute mark came and went, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19, Peters Township. We're at the Rivers Casino Sportsbook in 3 hours. Our biggest event ever, our 15th anniversary party, is going to commence here. I have a wardrobe change that I've got planned for this.
We have to hustle up. We have to hustle upstairs right after we're done here. So how are you going to fit the wardrobe change, like, time frame-wise?
I'll make it work. Yeah.
Maybe, you know, he's going to have to learn how to work under pressure, Donnie, when he's producing the show.
Maybe I'll be fashionable
in a few months.
Yes, that's right. Although no word from Craig Riley on this. So I think already he's afraid to give a public
statement
on it. Yeah, that could be used against him down the road, I think.
In a court of law. Which, speaking of which, Judge Donnie will be appearing.
5:30 live.
Chambers will be right here. He's going to put on a headset with us.
What do they call it when...
A recess?
No, when they move... A case because they think there's like a prejudice or bias.
A change of venue. It's just a change of venue.
Simple?
Yeah, they just call it a change of venue. I think there might be some. We have many lawyers who listen to this show who
have
will tell me if I'm wrong.
Have the top dog lawyers ever rapped about that? Getting a change of venue.
What a change of venue! You want a fenced in court? That dog will bite.
Speaking of lawyers, Art Rooney too getting slammed by his players. Mm. 2 years in a row, got awful grades last year. That was when Donnie went on a rant and said Rooney was the worst owner in Pittsburgh sports. And things haven't changed. He's in the bottom five. He got a D grade from his players in this NFLPA poll. That's 28 out of 32 teams. Do we have, Donnie, can you or Chris, you've got a functional laptop. Can you pull up the teams that are below them? Because that's only four teams, then.
I believe one of them, just off the complete top of my head, is Arizona, the Bidwill?
Give me a dime.
Yeah, they are
Mike
last.
Brown.
So the bottom five are Steelers, Jets, Browns, Patriots, Cardinals.
Oh, wow, Mike Brown doing even better than Art Rooney.
Wait, give me it again. Patriots?
Do you want the exact order?
Yeah, go down from 28 to 32.
Well, the Steelers are 28.
Steelers are 28, Jets 29, Browns 30. Patriots 31, Cardinals 32.
Right. So, I mean, the outlier there is in my opinion, the Patriots, just because they did so much winning under Kraft. And, yeah, it's been in the Rooney family name since 1933, but this is not Art's team. Robert's responsible for the Patriots having all six of their Super Bowl titles and equaling the Steelers for the most in team history. So that's a little bit of a perplexing one. But everybody else that the Steelers are lumped in with makes sense. Woody Johnson is looked at as an incompetent boob.
Jimmy Haslam's a crook.
Yep, and also extremely incompetent. And the Bidwells have basically presided over the most, like...
Dysfunctional. They're dysfunctional, too.
Dysfunctional and unsuccessful teams in NFL history. So that I get. It's Art residing in this neighborhood that is, I think, a stain on him currently as owner, and the reason why it resonates more is because they're not getting the results that they used to get. Yes, they still have winning seasons. but it's not translating in a way that we're accustomed to seeing it, which is win games that really matter late in the year. And this speaks to the issue of things that are not player salary and head coach salary, because that's the other thing they value more than anybody else. The other areas where you try to win within the margins, making sure your facilities are state-of-the-art, making sure the staff, not just your assistant coaching staff, which is obviously an issue and an art problem, but the entire workforce of people who try to make your football team better, this shows again that he lacks in that department. And the reason why I think it's so damning now is because they do have more roster turnover than they used to, as far as they've been way more willing to bring in players from other organizations. So, like, I could understand if T.J. Watt or Cam Hayward, they don't know what they don't know. They've only played for one NFL team. So they only have maybe, like, what they hear from friends. They haven't experienced it other places. They've brought in more players from other teams. Therefore, they've got something to compare it back to. And I think that's how you get these grades, Chris.
Doesn't compare favorably.
It makes art look horrible.
Well, think of just here's the other thing. I think somebody said, and I have to go double check this. I think the Bidwill, Michael Bidwill, is facing like harassment lawsuits. Woody Johnson's got a kid named Brick making decisions like
off Madden ratings.
Off Madden. Kraft is something of an outlier, but even he's been connected, obviously, to some pretty salacious things off the field. Jimmy Haslam,
like,
massage parlor situation.
Yes. Are we allowed to say happy endings? I think so.
He was
uncouth, maybe, but
very I would say uncouth. Yes, uncouth's correct,
but not dumpable.
No, that's it's uncouth. What the phrasing? Yeah, and probably tawdry is the practice.
Yeah, very tawdry, on the high end of tawdry.
Correct, but he's obviously very successful. Haslam, complete like clown. Woody Johnson, clown. Bidwill, clown. To varying degrees, you could argue all of them kind of like bad guys. My point is, other than the Patriots, and even they've experienced it, the Steelers are the only team where the owner is being ranked in the bottom five here who have, on the surface, Pony, experienced consistent success by the sheer definition of do you win more often than you lose? Think of how bad it has to be that even these guys who might be coming from crappier franchises from a win-loss perspective see what he's all about after being here. And they're like, man, this, at least from like his standpoint, that they're the family who runs it like a family business, this isn't all it's cracked up to be.
We'll get into where Tomlin rated among his players and how that compares to the other 31 NFL head coaches. But it is a win for Tomlin and a loss for Art, because when you read things like Rooney ranked 30 out of 32 teams in average rating for perceived willingness to invest in facilities. Basically, the players are saying, we try to win. We try to do more with less. And if you gave us more, maybe we could do more.
Well, just, and I think, doesn't it follow that, like, if people feel like they're working in a place where the conditions are good, and this isn't a perfect theory because, like, the Eagles got dinged pretty badly for some stuff on this. I think, like, their team flights and
the Chiefs owner didn't do well in this poll last year.
It's not perfect, and I don't want to make it sound like
it's
a perfect
2 years
one-to-one.
In a row, Art got terrible scores.
Right, I don't want to make this sound like it's a perfect
it's
one-to-one
It's not like
comp.
They tried to send a message last year, Art cleaned it up, and then they gave him good grades this year.
Here's what somebody would say back. They'd say the Falcons actually did get a big jump in grades because they upgraded a bunch of stuff, and where did it get them? Fine. But, like, most of the time, I think you would say in most workplaces, people who feel like the workplace is better suited to, like, you know, it's just a better workplace environment in every way, whether that's facilities or whatever, would say that they're going to do better work when that's, like, what their workplace is like. And there's just been no, like, meaningful effort on the Steelers' part to change
but
any of that.
The old school Steelers' mentality, or the old school belief in them, was they're a family-first business.
It's
they
like
treat
playing
their players
it's different
like
here.
Family.
It's really different
yes.
here. It's not the same as it is in every other place where you're discarded like just a number on a spreadsheet.
They actually care about you. They treat you like gold.
When Dan Rooney's talking to you, you get the sense he really – not that they – you know, they said that back years and years ago. When he's talking to you, you get the sense he really cares.
The players don't actually believe that because when they got a chance to hammer this team anonymously in their owner, they did.
Think about this one picture that gets thrown around there because, frankly, it is a funny picture. Dan Rooney, towards the end of his life, when he was becoming a little bit more frail – and who's standing next to him with the mean mug, but they're both kind of doing it? Ike Taylor. When have you ever, and it's obvious that Ike revered him, like reverential figure for Ike.
Yeah.
When have you ever seen that kind of picture or that kind of obvious affection from player to owner under Art's stewardship?
Yeah, Art's not warm and fuzzy, but I mean,
I don't think Dan was warm and fuzzy, but those guys knew he gave a crap.
A little bit more. I mean, he was cutthroat. I mean, he made some very difficult business decisions.
Right, but they knew he cared.
I know. I would say Ben probably holds Art in high regard because he knows that Art picked. He knows that Art picked him when Tomlin and
Kevin
Colbert wanted him gone.
Okay, but again, where is some of that stuff that like crosses over behind the scenes and like you get these visible displays of the way they feel about
you? Just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
So many luminaries coming out of the woodwork for tonight's big 15th anniversary event here at the Rivers, including some of our most famous or infamous callers and listeners to the station would love to see a Candy in Monroeville or a Carol in Clinton make it out for this event.
Well, I think, to be fair about Candy, she's in her mid to upper 80s, and I think might be a tough sell for her to get from Monroeville to here. I would love to see her.
Me too. It'd bring the house down.
Carolyn Clinton, I know, is a little younger than Candy, maybe a little bit more of a possibility.
Clinton, a little bit of a hike.
Clinton's where I used to have, Clinton, the site of a bad Chris Muller high school sports experience. 10-mile cross-country relay where there's four people had to do 2.5 miles, pony.
Cracked yourself?
No, that would have been more embarrassing than this, but this wasn't much better.
Peed yourself?
I ran the third leg of the race, okay? Our first two guys had gotten us a nice lead. We knew Northgate had the best runner in the whole place, and so I needed to kind of make even more ground if we were going to have a chance to hold him off because he was that good. Northgate's third runner caught me from like 2.5 minutes behind, passed me while my dad, who would not get that into my sporting events,
watch you lose,
is standing on the side of the trail exhorting me to go faster when I literally can't go any faster. Worse yet, that guy, that runner from Northgate, has announced himself as such on the air on this station before. He's like, "Hey, Chris, it's me, Tom, the guy who beat you at that big relay when you were a sophomore in high school." That is a tough thing to live down.
I got stuck on a squat today at the gym and couldn't get up.
What, like a life alert? I've fallen and I can't get up?
Well, I was a box squat and I was on the seat.
Okay, and you just could not lift the weight?
Yeah, I'm like, it was my last rep. I'm like, I'm toast.
Did you have somebody spotting you?
Yeah.
Well, you know, somebody spotting you, it's all right. They can help you stand up.
Donnie, are you still as put off and irritated by these Art Rooney grades from Steelers players as you were last year? Have you cooled off? Have you thought about it and said, you know what, I'm not going to go hammer time on Art this time around?
I think I've cooled off only in the sense that I'm starting to see more and more people come to my side. And I'm going to let it be known that the doors are wide open. You can hop aboard the ship anytime.
There's no velvet rope at Club Donnie's Takes, is there?
Yeah, I mean, I put it out there last year, and yeah, people got all over me for suggesting that there was an owner as bad as Bob Nutting in the city. But we have now seen multiple years in a row, and I think Chris pointed it out well. Like, some of the guys, some of just the people that are listed in the bottom five in terms of owners is rough.
And not a great neighborhood to be around.
But hey, Mark Cabali points out they did just put a sauna in over there.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, I live in a townhouse that I have a sauna in my garage that I got off Amazon, and you know every LA Fitness in the area has a sauna as well, and a
my
basketball
just
court
put in
and
a
racquetball court.
Yeah, my neighbor just put in a sauna. It looked like a very nice piece of business. Yeah.
Steelers made upgrades at the facility this year, including adding a sauna and upgrading the weight room.
The fact that they did not already have a sauna is pretty alarming. Like, that's a pretty remedial thing.
Doran was tweeting that Freiermuth and Hayward would show up to his house because he had one in his basement and they would use his sauna.
I actually believe that. Cabali here.
Think about that, though.
I know, funny. Cabali says the problem is and will always be that the facility is just too small to accommodate an NFL team in Pitt. Donnie, your take on that?
My immediate question would be, then why are Pitt's facilities so nice? Why is their side of the building state of the art?
Their locker room does look sick.
Yeah, when you see the
locker room,
what do you think?
The Steelers' locker room is closer to the locker room that I used in high school at Offutt Field in Greensburg. It's closer to that than it is a lot of the upper echelon locker rooms in the NFL. I can guarantee you that. You go into the Steelers locker room and then Offutt Field locker room, it's going to feel closer than if you go into the Steelers locker room and, I don't know, whoever's at the top of the list when it comes to locker rooms and facilities.
Have either of you guys ever, like, been into, like, a pretty nice country club and looked at, like, a lot of the old school, like, locker rooms
in
those places?
Is this your way of, again, bringing up that you played Oakmont twice?
No.
Ballsy and I are
new
to golf or suck at it.
No, I'm genuinely asking. If you've ever been in, like, at any reason for, like, a banquet or a wedding, like, it is funny. The nicer the course, like the older school that the locker room looks, Donnie, because that's not really the point. It's just literally a place to stash your stuff, and there's sort of a charm to it.
And old guys walking around naked and their balls are hanging down to the friggin' floor.
You're
oh
trying to avoid that, I assure you. That's not the charming part. But, like, that's like, okay, that's part of the deal, and
looks
like people kind of like that.
Grapefruit rolled up
all right,
in some old bubble
what
gum.
Are you doing here?
It's terrible.
Horrifying. I'm not talking about an LA Fitness locker room.
Oh, Donnie's been in those
jackpots before. But no, like when you're talking about that, and then I'm envisioning the way I see the Steelers locker room look. That's bad news. I'm going to give you guys a sobering thought though on this. Like,
oh, great.
Two
I can't wait for a multi-sobering thought.
So first one is this. If the problem is that the facilities are confined by the geography of where they're located and you can't expand anymore, then here's what you do. You figure out a place either north or south of the city, either in like Cranberry or Peters, where you've got a parcel of land where you can actually build. You buy the land and you say, yes, we are moving operations for our practice facility out of the south side. Pitt can have the whole facility, however they want to repurpose the full use of that. And we're putting a big boy facility in that's, yes, not as centrally located, but is way nicer.
But Donnie's saying
that requires some capital being spent by them.
But Donnie's saying it's not a matter of, like, the space. It's that even the stuff that they have is not renovated.
That's just saying we're not going to pay the cost of
doing
business.
Donnie, true or false, Art Rooney 2 is cheap?
True.
Pony, I don't think a lie has been detected here. I don't know how – small coaching staff, I don't care about how much people think that does or doesn't matter. Okay, facilities that could be upgraded to at least be premium stuff within the space you have, not being done. Pits are objectively nicer. Would you agree?
Yeah,
Tony, you've been there.
I've been in there.
Pits
they got
are
a
objectively
barber shop
nicer.
In there.
Right. I just think that you can't come away with any other thought, and it's less excusable or understandable because you're in a capped league that just prints money. Here's the other thing: Fake John and Robinson did text me this, and he's exactly right. And I think you both are going to agree with it. They moved up. Art Rooney moved up, Donnie. I don't know if you checked this. He was 28th last year among owners, or this year among owners. Do you know what he was last year, just off the top of your head?
Was he 29th?
He was 31st. And Fake John pointed out to me, he said, dude, they're going to see the jump of three spots up as a positive at the Steelers' offices.
God.
What? Wait a minute. I know that
they won't because they're still not above the mean.
But you might roll your eyes at that, but why would they not say we're at least trending in the right direction?
Because you know why? Because I don't even think he wants to pay it any mind. I think he actually, like, looks down on this, like...
That's another one of the
problems.
I don't
care about the player's opinion.
You know what?
I'm going to do what I've got to do.
Okay, you know what? You can be the guy who says, I don't really care about their opinions on certain matters. Like, the Eagles, I think, got an F for transportation, so, like, the team flights.
Cavalli said B+. Let's give the Steelers credit
Pony,
for that.
Pony, you can be an owner who thumbs his nose at this and says it's not really that relevant. If you just won the Super Bowl, oh, by the way, it's your second in this decade and third appearance overall. It's a lot easier when your team keeps winning and the guys who play for your team generally seem to love playing for that team if you get dinged in a couple categories.
FanDuel's research team looked at statistical profiles from college football quarterbacks, what they did in college, their build, everything else. Put it through a bunch of simulations and analytic programs, the same algorithms that they use to build lines.
10,000 simulations?
And concluded that Shedeur Sanders is basically this year's Kenny Pickett.
What?
Yeah.
How pissed is Deion if he is aware of that?
Well, probably super pissed because he's got a rivalry with Narduzzi. They've gone back and forth.
Oh, Pat is not a fan of Deion's, and I suspect Deion, to whatever extent he would admit it, is not a fan of Pat's.
I was hoping that those two teams got matched up in a bowl game before Pitt's free fall this year.
Shedeur Sanders takes way too many sacks, which I think does not translate well.
His offensive line was awful, though.
I know, but have you seen all the stats about if you take a lot of sacks in college, regardless of the reason, you tend to take a lot in the pros? I don't think that's a good sign.
Who came up with that stat?
No, that's like people who have studied this stuff over the course of like many years say, guys who got sacked a lot in college, they've followed in the NFL.
And who are the people that are doing all this studying? Just
the dozens, if not hundreds of people who make the draft their entire livelihood, Pony. When you're producing the show, you can actually go get some of these stats for me.
Did the Steelers not consult those people when they picked Kenny in the first round when he was still spinning himself into sacks when he was at Pitt? Did they not subscribe to that letter that has that information in there?
Pretty sure the Steelers lived in their fears that they were somehow passing on Dan Marino 2.0.
Well, that's another reason to ding Art Rooney, because he had his hands all over that. We'll talk to Mike Florio in a few minutes. Javon Hargrave linked to the Steelers as a welcome back Cotter player for 2025. I'm okay with that. Here's why. It's getting older, which is not the best, but if they're going to get a guy that can fill a position and he's not going to cost a lot of money, that gives me more money to spend on offensive playmakers that I need. And I don't think it keeps them from drafting a defensive lineman in the first or second round.
I guess what you're really hoping there is I get the player and he's still close to the player that left here and that obviously has played
the
well.
One, the one thing that would – I don't know how they would use Benton in this situation, but if it's Hargrave comes here and that puts Benton on the bench, what a horrible look that would be for Benton. That
I don't think that's what they would want to do.
His third year, a guy that's in his 30s would be taking his spot.
I mean, haven't they talked about feeling like Benton was a little has been a little bit miscast, or at least was last year, and what they asked him to do versus what
he's – So move him to Ogunjobi's spot?
Yeah, like – what so they've asked him to do versus
so
what they want
Hayward,
him to do.
So Hayward, Benton at ends, and Hargrave at
Yeah, that, I mean,
tackle?
People have talked about thinking Benton needs to be at the end here.
And then the guy you draft in the first or second round is...
In the middle?
Like a rotational
no,
guy.
No, I think the guy you draft in the first or second round, if you're going to draft the defensive lineman,
is
you still want...
Is he taking Hayward's spot eventually?
I think you want to draft an end, because I think, wouldn't you say nose tackle's one you'd hope you could get in the later rounds, because it's just simply not as valued a position, even in the AFC North where teams run it a lot? That's what I would look at.
Yeah, but are they looking at that nose tackle position now like Casey Hampton 15 years ago, or are they looking at it more like I want Aaron Donald in there or Chris Jones?
I guess my point is, regardless of how they're looking at it, I still think it's probably a little bit easier to find those guys in the middle rounds. Like, you can almost draft a body
type
and traits.
That's why Jordan Davis in the first round ended up being such a bad pick.
The rare Howie Roseman whiff.
Florio, very busy time for him with the NFL Scouting Combine, all the info that's coming out there about free agents and teams getting their offseason ducks in a row, plus the actual scouting of prospects and meeting with those players and watching those players work out and everything else. And we're happy to have Mike on the hotline, brought to you by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And Mike is brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. Mike, we're going to start, though, with this NFLPA survey and the fact that Art Rooney, too, got absolutely dreadful grades again. A D grade from Steelers players, 28th out of 32 teams. Your thoughts?
Well, wait. Isn't this just a way for people to vent and grind axes and it means nothing? Isn't that what Art said last year in response to the only way to hold owners accountable? I mean, let's be realistic about it. You can't fire owners. The only way to hold owners of NFL teams accountable for anything is to do this report card that the players do. And I think it is a stroke of genius that they do it. And there are teams that get bad grades who react by taking the criticism to heart and doing something about it. And there are teams that try to downplay it and denigrate it and make it seem like something that is just fake news or whatever the language you want to apply. And it seems like Art, based upon what he said last year, and I got a ton of respect for him as one of the better owners in the NFL, but it seems like he has ignored the feedback. He hasn't acted in response to the feedback. And what a shock. You get a bad report card, and you don't change your study habits, you're going to get another bad report card from the teacher.
All right, so just to let people know exactly what Art said last year at the owners' meetings when he was, I think, rated what, Chris, the 31st
best owner? 31st, yeah.
He said, quote, "It doesn't get presented to us, it gets presented to the media. So as far as I'm concerned, it's a media opportunity for the Players Association as opposed to a serious effort of constructive criticism," was his response.
Well, but wait a minute. Why does that I know they'd prefer not to have dirty laundry aired out, but the players are choosing to take advantage of a weapon that is at their disposal. And I don't mean it in a negative way. But there is a broader relationship here between labor and management. And this is a great way for the players to make their voices heard. And it's a great way to shame teams into changing the way they do things. And Art might not like it, but if they want to change the right that the players have to do this, then go to the bargaining table and come up with a mechanism to require the players to share that information directly with the league. So the union, which has from time to time capitulated too often to the owners because there really isn't true equality in bargaining strength, because the owners will shut the league down for a full year and the players won't miss a game check, and I don't blame the players for that. This is something that the players can use that clearly gets under the owner's skin, and you can either downplay it and ignore it, or you can take it to heart. And the teams that took it to heart, like the Commanders, they've improved their grades. So I think it's good that the players' union does it, and I don't think it's a good idea for the teams that get bad grades to just ignore it and brush it off and not take it seriously and not change their ways in response to the grades they get.
A couple different thoughts I have, Mike. I mean, one, if Art saw this last year, whether he saw it as a media opportunity or not, he still could have addressed his players behind closed doors and maybe helped himself, which doesn't seem that he really did at all. Another thought I had was he's in a pretty bad neighborhood as far as, like, other owners. Woody Johnson, Michael Bidwill. Jimmy Haslam. Bidwill, I think, currently has, like, a harassment suit filed against him. Robert Kraft's the only other outlier, but not a good neighborhood to be hanging out in. And then, Mike, this is my other big thought and probably Art's biggest problem. Jeffrey Lurie's team, Jeffrey Lurie then by extension, got an F, I believe it was, for traveling and transportation and how the Eagles handle that. I think it is a lot easier to slough off that kind of thing when you're a Super Bowl champion or you got close to a Super Bowl. In Art's case, he's getting these grades and they haven't won a playoff game in almost a decade.
I don't disagree with any of that, and I've said for years now that dysfunction in a football organization begins at the top, and bad teams stay bad. In a league where things are, in theory, balanced out so you can be competitive every given year, you can, in theory, win a Super Bowl once every 32 years because everything is flattened out from a talent acquisition standpoint, there are ways that you need to make yourself attractive to free agents. There are ways that you need to make yourself attractive to your locker room, and those little things can add up. And hey, it's a testament to the Steelers' ability to identify and develop talent and others in the organization who can make up for the fact that ownership isn't viewed favorably by players. It's definitely something that should be alarming to any owner, and there should be a concerted effort to try to address the deficiencies instead of just saying, well, it's not a serious effort of constructive criticism because they give it to the media. That makes it even more imperative, I think, to make the changes necessary so the next year you get better grades. But I just don't think the owners like anything that is used to make them accountable. They are so used to generally, not just Art, that they are so generally accustomed to being in a position where they aren't questioned, they aren't criticized, nothing sticks to them. There's no accountability. As Jed York of the 49ers said several years ago, you can't fire an owner. I just think it's a great way for the players to try to get better treatment from all teams, and some teams are reacting. I remember last year, Clark Hunt, when the Chiefs got horrible grades, he came out and said, we take this to heart, and we're going to take a hard look in the mirror, and we're going to do what we have to do. I think that's the right attitude if you want to have your players as happy as they can be. Now, some would say you don't want your players to be too happy, because if they're too happy, they might be a little soft and a little complacent. Like, is it a good thing the Dolphins are number one? I don't know when you look at how the Dolphins can't get past the first round of the playoffs or get to the playoffs. And they've got that narrative that comes from within the building. They had a player say last year, we were soft in our loss to Green Bay on Thanksgiving night. But you don't want to be at the bottom of the pack. You don't want to be listed in the same sentence with the owners of the most dysfunctional teams, because one of the reasons those teams are so dysfunctional is because of their owners.
Mike, do you think that the Steelers are a serious player for Matthew Stafford?
I don't know right now whether or not they are. I know that Albert Breer reported the other day that it was the Steelers, the Browns, the Giants, and the Raiders who had shown interest among other teams. Now, is that coming from the Steelers, or is it coming from Stafford's agent, or is it coming from the Rams who are trying to see if there's a real market out there so they don't have to pay him? The challenge is, or at least pay him what he wants, the challenge is to come up with a trade package that the Rams would want and come up with a contract that will make Stafford happy. The Rams want him. Sean McVay made that clear. They want him. There's just an impasse over what he's worth. And when you look at how he played last year, and you look at how there are other guys like Jared Goff, the guy the Rams tied a first-round pick to get his contract off the books when they traded for Stafford, Goff's at $53 million a year, and Stafford's making $27 this year, it's going to be a major undertaking to make him happy and make the Rams happy. And I don't know that the Steelers are in the mindset to take that kind of a big swing. Yeah, last year they made a dramatic change to the quarterback position, but at the end of the day, they paid their three guys, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, and Kyle Allen. They paid their three guys less than what Mason Rudolph got from the Tennessee Titans. So I don't see the Steelers going out there and giving up the draft picks that would be required to do the trade and the money that would be required to make Matthew Stafford happy, because this isn't Matthew Stafford picking a spot where he thinks he can win a Super Bowl. If that's his motivation, just stay with the Rams. I think this is about Matthew Stafford getting one last giant bag of cash before his expiration date arrives on his playing career.
Mike, I know you are all over stuff like what I'm about to ask you about. So is Tom Brady going to get slapped on the wrist? Is there going to be any kind of weird tampering? Because I see the report was out there that they met, that he and Stafford met, and then he scrambled to say, oh, no, total coincidence, totally. This didn't happen in a planned fashion. He didn't come out to visit me. We just bumped into each other in Montana.
Well, and then on top of it, what happened is the guy who reported it, Jordan Schultz from Fox, a Tom Brady colleague, doubled down and called BS on it being coincidence.
Oh, I didn't see that. I love that. That's great.
They're gonna. Jordan Schultz is gonna get hit with like a blow dart, like a James Bond movie, one of these, you know, in a couple minutes here, Mike.
I just walked back over to my laptop to see the latest communication from the Rams. The PR guy there that I deal with, Artis Twyman, he's looking into what the parameters of the permission were. That's what it all comes down to. It's one thing to give a player's agent the permission to talk to other teams about what a potential contract would look like, what a potential trade would look like. It's another thing to give blanket permission for a player to start making the rounds like a free agent who goes to this team and to that team. And you go to Tom Brady's house in Montana, and Tom Brady is working on you to join the Raiders. You better have blanket permission to do it. It's not a problem for Stafford. He won't get in trouble. The guy who gets in trouble is the guy who's already walking this tightrope between being the number one analyst for Fox, minority owner, majority influence of the Raiders, and he might have just stepped right off the wire by doing what he did. It all comes down to the extent of the permission that the Rams gave to Stafford. And if they did not give him permission to meet with other teams, Brady's going to have a problem if the league is willing to do something about it. But there's enough of a sense in league circles, as evidenced by the rules that apply to Tom Brady. You know, he can't go to practices. He can't go to production meetings. He can't enter other team facilities. There could be a consequence to this. It all comes down to the permission that the Rams provided to Matthew Stafford. And this could hit the fan. And the call is coming from inside the house, which makes it even more compelling.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk on the NFL Scouting Combine, Art Rooney and the Steelers. Thank you so much, Mike. We'll talk again next week.
See you guys.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.